You can get the latest odds, offers and more great content at williamhill.com, on the William Hill app and in any of our shops around the UK. The Daily Racing Podcast from William Hill.
And they're off.
Listen to the podcast at williamhill.com/podcast.
Third festival win and the biggest one today.
Or subscribe via iTunes by searching William Hill Podcasts in the music store.
Hello and welcome to the William Hill Racing Podcast. Alex Dunn and Sam Turner with you on the latest edition to look ahead to the best of Wednesday's racing. Good afternoon, Sam Turner.
Good afternoon, Alex. How are you?
I'm very well, thank you.
Good.
It's a treat for me. I don't often host the racing podcast. And then not only do I get to host it today, but I'm in the presence of...
Steady. The presence of one of the biggest Muppets in the game.
That's very nice.
Let me just peel off a tenner for you.
I was going to say, yeah.
I haven't got one. Can you lend me one?
No. No, at the minute.
No,
I did not have the national winner.
No, me neither. And there lies a story.
Oh, really?
Well, I thought the Beecher Chase was the form to be with. Mm-hmm. So my first four in the paper were the four from the Beecher Chase. Do you remember what race the winner ran in before Christmas?
Ah.
Fifth in the Beecher Chase.
Nice.
Yeah, if there'd have been a couple of millimetres of rain, he'd have probably made the four. I'm not saying I would have tipped him, but I did fancy him to win that race at Warwick, you know, the Tote Classic Chase. And unfortunately, didn't go for him Saturday, but tremendous performance. Magnificent he was.
You mentioned that, you know, you thought that the rain was needed. Mm. I have to say that of the fancied runners, he was probably the one that I fancied the least.
Yeah.
It's quite easy after a national to go, oh, I thought that one might go close, but didn't back it. I ruled it out.
Yes,
personally.
I think he's an exceptional winner because to come where he's come from, and even cause of causes, which suggests that perhaps even more than normal, the tempo and the frenetic nature of the first circuit probably took its toll on those that raced handy.
Yeah.
But in recent nationals, it has always paid to race in the first dozen and pop away, pick your way through a bit of trouble there, and hopefully in contention crossing the Melling Road for the second time. Mm. But when you look where he was, he must have a tremendous engine, the horse.
He was third last as they came over the chair.
Yeah.
You never see a horse make that much ground anymore. And I backed Lord Windermere, who was in
he
a similar
really
place
well,
throughout.
Yeah.
And got a bit hampered here and there. Mm. But ran a similar race, but obviously without that devastating finishing kick.
Yes.
One for Arthur just travelled all over them. When you watch it back from
the helicopter,
it's fantastic just to see he's going two strides to their one, isn't he?
He is. He's got an unbelievable engine. To be honest, if it come up proper soft, he's the kind of horse that you could see running in a Gold Cup.
Yeah.
I know that's people will say, well, he'd be laughed, but it's never likely to get proper soft really at Cheltenham anymore.
No.
But such is his engine on really genuinely soft ground. And he jumped so well, and you know those lengths that he took out of the field in such a short space of time, and still had the quality to go and get to the elbow and power clear of cause of causes. He's a right grand stayer in his own right. Saint R, Black Lion, you know, he left them for dead. Good horses.
Good. I was going to say good little race, not a little race.
No,
but the form looks like it will actually hold.
Yeah,
a fair bit here.
Well, he left V. Leon Rouge for dead. Mm. You know, that was sixth. Lord Windermere, former Gold Cup winner, seventh. You know, Regal Encore, decent handicapper, Pleasant Company had won well going into that. Hublon de Zobo always runs his race. Ballinagore, Le Mercury. You know, people were saying, oh, it's a substandard national going into the race. You had Irish national winners from the last 2 years.
Yeah.
They were in there. More of that, who was, you know, placed in a, or just on the edges of them in a Gold Cup. All right, Safir Dorough didn't get round. Uccello Conti didn't get round, you know. But good horses in their own right have been plying their trades in a Thyestes or a Troy Town.
Yeah.
Or, you know, all the Paddy Power Gold Cups. There's plenty of them in that race, and he has destroyed them. And you sort of saw the engine that he had at Warwick, because he made up a lot of ground there and really took off under Derek Fox. Mm. But I just didn't think... You know, doing it at Warwick is one thing against, you know, some plodders in the Classic Chase, but doing it against proper, you know, semi-Gold Cup horses at the National is another thing. But he's obviously proved he's an exceptional tool.
And Derek Fox gave it an absolute cracker.
He did. He did. Did great to get back. I mean, he's been out injured for quite some time. And, you know, I don't think we... You know, when sportsmen are out of the game for a while and trying to get back through rehab, it's a really dispiriting experience. And, you know, timing's everything. You know, whether you're playing a cover drive or whether you're trying to strike a good free kick or a corner, and you're entitled to be a bit ring rusty. And he hadn't been that long back in the saddle.
No.
So to execute that kind of level of performance in the saddle was a tremendous achievement.
And forget ring rustiness. He'd be a bit sore, you'd have thought. It was only I think four weeks ago, a month ago, that he broke, I think it was a collarbone in his wrist.
Yes.
I wouldn't want to be steering a horse.
No, collarbones are funny. They're very difficult. If you crack them, you can get good and bad ones. But, you know, and I've seen lads come back after two and a half weeks and they've ridden and they've been white. I saw a lad once ride a Cheltenham winner 2.5 weeks after he broke his collarbone. And I've never seen anybody who looked in more pain coming into a winner's enclosure than Mark Bradburn that day on Palaszczuk. He was white as a sheet, and there was no way he was ecstatic about riding the Cheltenham winner. He was in absolute agony. Mm. So that is some effort, really, to get back.
We're going to look at the Scottish National.
Right.
Purely because we've got the betting for it.
Yeah.
As of this morning, of Wednesday morning. And obviously we're not going to push you hard for a selection now, because firstly, we don't know what's going to turn up, really. You've got a rough idea. You know that One for Arthur will not. One for Arthur is done for the season now.
Yes.
Premier Bond and Vicente are 12-1 joint favourites. It's 14s for Southwood Royale. Arpège d'Alen, Black Lion, Mr. Approach, Mystery, See You at Midnight, Seldom In, Vintage Clouds and Yarlarenki are 16s. It's 20s or bigger the rest. You could... We talked about the National being open.
Yeah.
We don't even know what's going to turn up here, and it looks ridiculously open. But once again, you've got the mix of horses that have run in the National.
Mm.
You've got some that have run in the 4 Miler. You've got some, well, one Ida winner in there. There's plenty of different form lines going on. But at the same time, most of these have raced against one another at some point in the last year.
They have, yeah, they have. And obviously, Vicente, winner last year, didn't really have any opportunity to launch a bid at the National, coming down very early in the piece. And back on spring ground, back at one venue that really suits him, you'd have to say he's a viable market leader and probably one with better credentials than most. The Nichols Battalions are also supported by Arpège d'Alen, who should enjoy the rigours of the race if he doesn't drop himself out. That's the problem with him. He just lacks that tactical speed mid-race, and you can't afford to do that at Ayr. When they sweep down that bend and turn into the straight, you know, they're quickening all the time there. Relatively. Black Lion would obviously be interesting. I think with a slightly more conservative ride, he would be the type of horse that you'd be keen to have on your side. Got that bit of class, he jumped beautifully, and I think if Noel Feely could ride the race again, perhaps on Saturday, he would have just been a little bit more patient.
I was gonna say, I've seldom seen a National horse travel so powerfully.
Yeah, he was awesome, wasn't he?
Mm.
He was awesome. I've seldom seen Noel Feely go for home quite so far out in a race either. You know, very patient rider normally, so whether that was a tactic that they talked of, look, if he's travelling well, go for home. He obviously reversed the Haydock Grand National trial form with La Vion Rouge, or V Leon Rouge, in great fashion. But, you know, is this 4 mile, this extended 4 mile, really what he wants? And, you know, he did have a bit of a lung burster at Aintree as well. Are we going to be better looking for a fresh horse?
Possibly. It does often pay, doesn't it? I mean, you're going back, in the last 10 years, say, it's pretty rare that a National winner turns up at Ayr and runs to the same level, I think it's fair to say.
They're trained for the day at the National. I think Saturday, with it being so hot as well, they got them rehydrated really quick and they recovered quickly, but it is a big ask just 2 weeks later to then go up to Scotland. You've got the travelling, and the exertions that must surely have left its edge.
Do you think the race itself, actually physically running 4.5 miles, is the killer, or do you think it's the fact that you are like the whole atmosphere of the day, if you like? So let's take Vicente.
Yeah,
fell at the first. So in terms of freshness in legs, provided that fall didn't leave any scars, you'd think, oh, fine. It's almost like it hasn't had a run.
Yes.
But at the same time, the hubbub and the noise and everything. Vicente has had a day out.
He has had a day out.
Not a peaceful one.
I wouldn't be too worried about that, because he had 2 weeks to recover from that, whereas the likes of Leon Rouge, you know, has been all the way round.
Yeah.
The thing with Vicente as well is that he's only had three or four runs this year. Well, four runs. He fell on his reappearance in the Hennessy, and then the three runs on very soft ground. He's had a light campaign, and he didn't get very far at Aintree. So, you know, those Aintree fences can claim any horse, so I wouldn't be too concerned about that. I'm sure he'd do plenty of schooling subsequently. He has fallen in two of his five starts this year, which has to be a slight concern and not one that is easily dismissed, and probably not one that would encourage you to take 10, 12 to 1 a week or two before the race. But he is very much a very fair market leader, even off a revised mark this year.
Certainly something that I think listeners need to just keep an eye on in the next week or so. If there is some breaking news, there could be some value to be found if you can get there before our traders.
Yeah, basically. I think the likes of See You at Midnight is obviously interesting because he, I think I'm right in saying, was placed third in the race last year. He was only three lengths behind Vicente. He beat Bristol Demai first time up at Carlisle. He then pulled up when very, very well backed in the Betfair Chase at Haydock, and then they gave him a little spin over hurdles at Catterick the other day. Kelso the other day, which was looks a shrewd move just to protect his mark before the weights had come out. So obviously he's a class horse. He's been there, done it, and he's only had three runs this season.
So that's the Scottish National. And if you are having a bet on that, then it's on the Future Races tab on the William Hill website. We're going to turn our attentions to Wednesday's racing, though, and there's no jumping to speak of. Well, there is, but we're not talking about it. Racing at Fontwell, Kempton, Dundalk, that we're not talking about, but we are focusing on races at Nottingham and Catterick, and it's a decent little card at Nottingham as well. A midweek listed contest, the Further Flight Stakes conditions race at Well, and we'll focus on those two first before we head to Catterick. Start with the 250, which is a condition stakes over five furlongs. And I think conditions races are pretty hard to call as a rule.
Yes.
At the start of the season, when the majority of the field, or the big players at least, are having their first run, even more difficult. Where should we start here?
Yeah, I think the two that leap out at me, the booking of Ryan Moore for Smoky Lane, I think that's interesting for Di Williams. I think it's, well, David Evans and Di, the owner. Smoky Lane did pretty well last year, only won a couple of times, but I thought he sort of advanced from, you know, fairly modest beginnings. He was beaten at Ayr first time, beaten at Sandown, and then just progressed as the season wore on and managed to lick a conditions race at Salisbury and then went to York for a listed and didn't run too badly there, win a big price. So I think he's of interest, certainly back at the trip that he tackles on Wednesday afternoon, five furlongs. I just wonder at York, the six in that grade, in that class, might just have found him out at the end of a long season. So I'd excuse him that performance. The other one that I like, because he looks a dead five furlong horse, is Major Jumbo, for whom Lewis Edmonds gets on quite well. He won on him last time at Wolverhampton in beating Blitz. Yeah, that was only handicap and only, I think, a class four, was it? Something like that.
Yeah.
So it wasn't a great contest, but he's been shoved up seven by the assessor. And although he has got to step into conditions company here, the fact that he's race fit would be a positive. The slight negative is that Kevin Ryan's just struggling for a winner, but he had a number of horses run well at Redcar on Monday afternoon. He was a bit unlucky not to nab a couple of winners at least there. And fingers crossed he will take a fair bit of beating here.
Okay, fair enough. But the selection, Smoky Lane or
I'm going to go with Major Jumbo. He did some really good speed figures on the all-weather this year and hopefully can translate that to the turf.
Okay, and Lewis Edmonds takes the ride. I did a podcast with Dale Gibson a few months ago.
Does he like him?
He's a big fan.
Yeah, I like him.
Big fan.
I think he's good. Jason Edmonds' his son, is he?
I have no idea.
The ex-jockey.
I wouldn't know. I'm Butter Bairn.
You are Butter Bairn.
Sorry. The 320 at Nottingham is next up. It is the Barry Hills Further Flight Stakes over a mile and six furlongs. And it's a good little race, this, because you've got really top-quality horses, to be fair. There's no denying that the likes of Trip to Paris, although not at his best last season, still has the form to go close. And Moonrise Landing was very, very progressive and has been for a while now. Massive shock in this last year. Frosty Berry won it.
Yes.
Wouldn't imagine that we'll see such a shock this time. But
Donald McCain will be hoping so, because
he's got Culmination, who is the obvious rag in the field.
Yeah.
And Elidor as well in this, who is not a rag, but I still remember, you know, you have those horses that you just think, oh.
Yeah.
I've only ever been to Doncaster races once, and I went, and it was beaten by Mad Moose in a maiden.
Yes.
And you just think, Mad Moose.
I know.
Of all horses.
Yeah.
But anyway, since then,
I'm still kicking for myself for not backing and tipping Elidor at Goodwood when it won three starts ago because it goes well at the track.
And has progressed into a really nice horse. Mm. Look, this is a really good race. What do you fancy?
Well, yes, it's an excellent race. I mean, you've got four horses rated in excess of 100. Trip to Paris is rated 110, and we all know what his history is. Like you say, he's just struggling to recapture those former glories. And I just wonder whether it be one or two of the younger horses, most notably Wall of Fire, which manages to land this contest. Moonrise Landing is obviously a very interesting returnee. She's been injured since winning at York in listed company. She beat Quest for More on that occasion. He went on to win a Goodwood Cup, I think, didn't he? And she has got a very good record fresh, but I've got a feeling the Gold Cup's going to be the long-term aim for her this year, and whether she's going to be tuned up significantly for mid-April and a conditions or a listed race at Nottingham is open to question, really. So I reluctantly overlooked her and gone with Wall of Fire, who only ran 2.5 weeks ago, and that was in Maidan behind Vazirabad, and he acquitted himself pretty well. It looks a warm race. Shakeside Road was third, Big Orange was fourth, and Wall of Fire was sixth, and he was staying on quite steadily. He was a bit ring rusty. And I think with that run under his belt, if he can recapture the form that saw him beat the likes of Seymour in a good quality handicap at Doncaster at the back end last year, or even at York when he beat Regal Monarch in the old three-year-old Ebor, what they call the three-year-old Ebor, the Melrose Stakes, then I think he's a progressive horse to keep on side this year. And although this race does often throw up a little bit of a strange result, the fact that he's had a run, I'm hoping that, you know, this is his primary objective early season, whereas one or two of the others, like perhaps Elidor, perhaps Moonrise Landing, are being targeted at races later in the campaign.
Certainly has the younger legs on the rest of the field as well. Wall of Fire in that. Right, we're going to move to Catterick, and we're going to have to quickly spin through two races, because Dave Kellner stood outside, and he wants to talk about golf.
Does he? Oh, well, I'm just saving everybody here.
Do listen to the golf podcast, by the way. Full Masters review. I don't know, I'm guessing.
I think Dave Tindall's with him, so they'll be cracking up.
Right, 4 o'clock Catterick is a handicap over almost a mile and a half, and looks fiercely competitive, but which way are we going to go here?
It is fiercely competitive, but I think John Quinn's won a couple of the recent renewals of this. I don't think he won last year, but I think he won with Mr. Gallivanter and also Armagh Lad. And I thought it was interesting here that he runs a horse rated 87 in a handicap that's for 0 to 85 horses. Master of Irony, who did really well over hurdles around about the turn of the year. He picked up one or two nice prizes, and he should have a little bit of fitness on his side. Okay, he's been off for nearly 3 months, but, you know, he was quite impressive at Catterick, and he was beaten by Sam Spinner at Catterick as well, with no disgrace in that whatsoever, because he looks a really nice novice. And John Quinn's done really well with this horse since taking him over from Rafe Beckett, and he showed a fair bit of form on the flat last year anyway, behind the likes of Wild Hacked and Monotype and in decent handicaps. So I think this year could be a year to catch him, and the fact that he runs here under the new BHA directive that he's allowed to run off 87, the fact he handles the track, it just looks a perfect piece of placing. So hopefully he can win the 4 o'clock.
Master of Irony gets the nod in that one. And the final race we're going to focus on is the 5.30 from Catterick, an apprentice handicap over 5 furlongs. I find that Catterick 5 furlong races are pretty difficult at the best of times, and factor in apprentice races and horses that may not have run for a while, and all of a sudden you're basically playing equine bingo.
Yeah, and there is a sense of that about this race. But I think Richard Oliver has been booked for Entertaining Ben. Mm-hmm. And Richard Oliver's got an interesting backstory, really, in that he went out to America. I think he started in this country, then he went out to America, rode a number of winners out in America. I think the tie-up initially was with Wesley Ward, and then he rode 30 to 40 winners, etc. Then he went to France, and he rode for Cricket Head for a little while and spent time there. And now he's back, and he's based up in Middleham, and he's with Mark Johnson now this season. He rode a good winner for Ian Jardine at Redcar, Miss Icon, I think, on Monday afternoon. And Entertaining Ben's just quite an interesting runner in that he gets aboard this for Ian Jardine, so that partnership's maintained. He's got form around some sort of similar tracks to Catterick, such as Bath, this horse. And although he didn't win last time out at Newcastle, I thought he ran okay. He was only beaten a couple of lengths by Win for Power. He led at a decent gallop, and I just wonder if he can get off and away here and get rolling at Catterick. He might just give people a good run for the money at a nice price.
Okay, like to be a big price as well. Entertaining Ben in that 5.30 at Catterick. Great stuff, Mr. Turner. Thank you very much.
Sorry for wittering on.
No, it's fine. It's not your fault. It's my fault for my poor timekeeping.
But indeed. Shocking.
Anyway, we'll let the golf guys get in here, and we'll be back on the Racing Podcast tomorrow.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.